Blessed art thou amongst women, who didst escape that universal curse. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and that other, cursed is the barren in Israel. Thou hast obtained the singular blessing in neither remaining sterile nor bringing forth in sorrow. But who has taught thee, O prudent virgin, O devout virgin, that virginity is pleasing to God? What page of the Old Testament exhorted thee? What ordinance counseled thee? What law commanded thee to live in the flesh, yet not according to the flesh, and to lead on earth the life of the angels? Where dost thou read that the wisdom of the flesh is death, and that we are not to make provisions for the flesh in its concupiscences? Where dost thou read of virgins that they sing a new song no other can sing, and that they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth? Where dost thou read that they are praised who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven? Where dost thou find that, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, and that he giveth his virgin in marriage doth well, but he that giveth her not doth better? Where dost thou hear, I would that all men were as myself, and it is good for a man if he so remain according to my counsel? The unction of the Holy Spirit, O virgin, has taught thee all these things. Before becoming thy son, God has been thy master. Thou didst vow thyself as a chaste virgin to Christ, and thou knowest not that thou shalt be his mother. Thou wilt conceive, but without sin. Thou wilt bring forth, but without sorrow. Thou knowest not man, but thou wilt bear a son. What son? Thou wilt be the mother of him whose father is God. The son of the Father's love will be the crown of thy chastity. The wisdom of the Father's mind will be the fruit of thy virginal womb. Of God, therefore, thou wilt conceive, and thou wilt bring forth a God. Take courage, then, fruitful virgin, chaste mother, spotless mother. Thou wilt no longer be accursed in Israel, nor reckoned among the barren. Thou wilt be blessed on earth by the angel, and all generations of the earth shall call thee blessed. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And when she had heard, she was troubled at his saying, and thought with herself what manner of salutation this might be. Virgins who deserve the name are ever timid. They never think of themselves secure, and while avoiding what ought to be feared, they fear where there is no danger. They know that they bear a precious treasure in fragile vessels, that it is difficult to live among men an angelic life, to converse on earth after the manner of the celestial spirits, to lead on earth a holy life in mortal flesh. In every unforeseen occurrence, they suspect some snare for their virtue, and therefore Mary was troubled at the words of the angel. She was troubled, but not disturbed. I was troubled, says the psalmist, and I spoke not. I thought upon the days of old, and had in my mind the eternal years. Mary was troubled and spoke not. She thought what manner of salutation this might be. That she was troubled proves her virginal modesty. That she was not disturbed, her fortitude. Her thoughtful silence shows her prudence. She thought what manner of salutation this might be. This prudent virgin knew how often Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, and because she was singularly simple and humble, she did not expect to hear such words addressed to her by the angel. So she thought with herself what manner of salutation this might be. Then the angel, looking on the virgin, and easily reading the conflicting thoughts that were passing through her mind, encouraged her in her timidity and in her doubt. Calling her by her name, he gently persuaded her not to fear. Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found grace with God. There is here no deception, no falsehood. Thou needest fear no fraud, no snare, no delusion. I am not a man, but a spirit. I am an angel of God, not a minister of Satan. Fear not, Mary. Thou hast found grace with God. Oh, if thou didst know how pleasing thy humility is to the Most High, what a sublime exaltation awaits thee in his sight. Thou wouldest not judge thyself unworthy of the conversation, nor even of the homage of angels. Why think thyself undeserving the favor of angels when thou hast found favor with God? Thou hast found what thou hast sought, what none before thee had been able to find, that thou hast found grace before God. What grace? the grace of peace and reconciliation between God and man, the destruction of death, the reparation of life. This is the grace thou hast found with God, and let this be a sign to thee. Thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Understand from the name of the promised Son, O prudent virgin, how great and what a special grace thou hast found with God. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. Another evangelist gives the reason of this name, because he shall save his people from their sins. I have read of two men who bore the name of this our Jesus. Both went before him and prefigured him, and both were serviceable to their people. One conducted his brethren into the land of promise, the other led forth his people from the captivity of Babylon. Both did, indeed, defend those they governed from their enemies, but they did not save them from their sins. But this, our Jesus, saves his people and washes away their sins, and likewise introduces them into the land of the living, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who is this that forgiveth sins also? Would that the Lord Jesus would deign to number me, a sinner, among his people, and save me from my sins? Truly blessed are the people that have our Lord Jesus for their God, for he will save his people from their sins. But I fear there are many who profess to be of his people, but whom he does not recognize as such. I fear that too many who are counted among the more religious-minded of his people, he will say, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." For the Lord Jesus knoweth who are his, and whom he hath chosen from the beginning. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I command you? Would you know if you belong to his people? Or rather, do you wish to be one of his disciples? Do what Jesus commands, and he will number you among his followers. Fulfill what he enjoins in the gospel, what he prescribes in the law and the prophets, what he ordains through his ministers in the church. Obey his representatives. Obey your superiors, not only the good and gentle, but even the forward, and learn of Jesus himself to be meek and humble of heart. You will then belong to the blessed people whom he has chosen for his inheritance, and of whom he bears witness, saying, "A people which I knew not hath served me, and at the hearing of the ear they have obeyed me." But let us consider what the angel thinks of him, whom he would willingly himself have called by the name of Jesus. He says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High." Great indeed is he who deserves to be called the Son of the Most High. Is not he great whose immensity knows no limitation, who is great as the Lord our God? It is he who is as great as he is high, yea, who is most high, as Son of the Most High. He thought it not robbery to equal himself to the Most High. Satan indeed meditated robbery. Though made out of nothing in angelic form, he compared himself with his Maker, and arrogated to himself what belonged of right to the Son of the Most High, the Son not made by God, but begotten of him. For the Most High God the Father, though omnipotent, could not make a creature equal to himself, nor beget a son who was not his equal. He made the angel great, but not as himself, therefore not Most High. In one alone did he think it no robbery that he should equal himself with him in all things, the only begotten Son, who was not made, but begotten, by the omnipotent, omnipotent, by the Most High, by the Eternal, co-eternal. Rightly then shall he be great who shall be called the Son of the Most High. But why is it said, "He shall be," and not rather, "He is," great, since he is always equally great, and can have no increase? He will not be more exalted after his conception than he was before. Perhaps the angel would have us understand that he who was great as God will be great as man. Elsewhere in the gospel we read, "A great prophet hath risen up amongst us." O virgin, thou wilt indeed give birth to a little one. Thou wilt nourish a little one. But while thou lookest on him as little, think upon him as great. He will be great, because God will magnify him in the sight of kings. Wherefore, let all the kings adore him, and all the nations serve him. Let thy soul magnify the Lord, for he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. He shall be great, and he that is mighty shall do greater things for thee, and holy is his name. What name holier than Son of the Most High? This great Lord shall be magnified also by us little ones, for he became a little one that he might make us great. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, not to himself, for he who before all ages was much more nobly born of his father needed not in time to be born of a mother. Nor was he born and given to the angels. They who possessed him in his greatness did not require him in his lowliness. To us, then, he is born. To us he is given, because by us he is so greatly needed. And since he is born of our race and given to us, let us accomplish that for which he was born and given. Let us make use of our own for our profit. Let us work out our salvation by means of our Savior. Behold, a child is set in the midst. O little one, desired by little ones! O true child, but a guileless child full of wisdom! Let us study to become as this little one. Let us learn to be meek and humble of heart, lest the great God should without fruit have become man and a child, lest he should have died in vain and been crucified in vain. Let us learn his humility. Let us imitate his meekness. Let us embrace his love. Let us share his sufferings. Let us be washed in his blood. Let us offer him as a propitiation for our sins. To this end he was born and given to us. Let us offer him to his Father. For the Father spared not his own Son, but delivered him for us all. And the Son emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and delivered his soul to death, and was reputed with the wicked. He bore the sins of many, and prayed for the transgressors that they may not perish. He bore the sins of many and prayed for the transgressors that they might not perish. But they cannot perish for whom the Son prays, and for whom the Father delivers his own Son to procure them life. From both, therefore, equally may we hope for pardon, because in both are equal mercy and compassion, equal power, one will, one substance in Godhead, wherein with them the Holy Ghost liveth and reigneth one God for ever and ever. Amen.